back, everyone. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry. The website is, of course, www.remnantofgod.org. If you have any questions you would like addressed on future programs, send me off an email to questions@remnantofgod.org. If you would like copies of today's program or any past programs, click the Antique Radios on the main page of the website and surf to the archive sections from that page. You can listen online to past programs, or if you prefer, you can just download the MP3s. In fact, I just installed an MP3 player, it's a flash player, to the website that allows you to listen to any MP3 found anywhere on the server. And you can set it to where it just automatically plays one after the other, so it's pretty nice. Anyway, let's get back to what we were doing right before the break. But before reading this next article, are you aware that the powers that be are actually holding an ID World International Conference and Exhibition at the Aurelia Convention Center and Expo in Rome to see who can come up with the best technology that would allow for global control of each and every single solitary individual? And why Rome? Seriously, do I need to answer that question? All of the info on this reality can be found at idworldonline.com. That's idworldonline.com. On that site, they have all the info needed on how to effectively exhibit your devices before the super rich clamoring for more methods to make money. They also have info on how to attend the convention, how to visit the convention for free. And yes, the very chip people, you know, the digital angel people, will be there. Now, will they be the ones chosen to create the world's first automatic ID? Who knows? Who cares? The only reason the very chip is so popular and talked about on so many false prophecy websites is all merely an advertising campaign to hopefully win the contract to globally manufacture them. Fact is, the Mark of the Beast is not a chip under the skin. Prophecy proclaims it's the exact opposite of the seal of God, which is, of course, his Sabbath. And, oh, by the way, that word Sabbath, on my Sabbath page in the Bible Truth section of the website, I break it down where, you know, you take the word Sabbath and you take it all apart and you get the inner meanings of each and every section and prefix and suffix of the word. It actually means in English the dwelling place of the seal of the Father. I line it all up on that page if you want to get, or it's even in the Mark of the Beast flash animation. So, the seal of God being the Sabbath, Rome will even go so far as to call Sunday Sabbaths their mark of authority in the religious community. In fact, I have two quotes. Actually, there's a lot more than two, where the Catholic Church exclaims that they are the ones that invented Sunday keeping. But these two quotes, they actually call it their mark. The first one is from H.F. Thomas, Chancellor of Cardinal Gibbons. He says, of course, the Catholic Church claims that the change of Saturday Sabbath to Sunday Sabbath was her act, and the act is a mark of her ecclesiastical authority in religious things. So they call it a mark there. And in the Catholic Record of London, Ontario, on September 1st, 1923, they said that Sunday is our mark of authority. The Church is above the Bible, and the transference of Sabbath observance is proof of that fact. So why do so many people think the digital angel is the mark? Well, because they don't understand simple prophecy. They also think the advertisements of the digital angel prove it's going to happen. They fail to realize that all this talk of the very chip in the media is simply digital angel's attempt at becoming the creator of the automatic ID cards or ID method. They have to keep it in the media. They have to create the scuttlebutt on it and even negative gossip so as to keep it before the eyes of those that make the decisions regarding their choice for the global manufacturing of the ID. It's an advertising campaign, nothing more, nothing less. And that's why they do it, and that's why it's so popular, and that's why it's on everybody's tongue. Why so much concentration on advertising, you ask? Well, it's really rather simple. It has to do with money again. Think about it. Whoever gets the contract to manufacture the global ID will become the world's richest manufacturer. Why? Well, every single solitary soul on earth will be forced by law to have one. That's over 6 billion sales, guaranteed. Using law to sell products works well. I mean, look at the car insurance agencies of today. Before it was required by law to have car insurance, you had a few companies clamoring for the occasional sale. I know, I used to sell the stuff years ago. Now, you have thousands of them raking it in. And it's all thanks to Congress making it law. Now, I went to the ID World website to get some info on this global ID convention, and this is what I found. It's going to be held in Rome on November 2nd, 3rd, and 4th at the Aurelia Convention Center and Expo. The website has a press area praising the outstanding successes of the global ID concept. Everybody's talking about it. They talk of everything from networking ideas to passing out awards for those companies trailblazing the concept forward. You know, I thought this next excerpt that I'm about to share was a fair method of explaining what they are doing at this convention in Rome. And again, this is from that website that I mentioned earlier. I think, what was it, idworld.com? Yeah, idworldonline.com. They said on this website, they go, the ID World International Congress 2005 opens again its doors on November 2nd at the Aurelia Convention Center and Expo in Rome and welcomes the international audience interested in advanced automatic identification technology to visit the world's most comprehensive showcase on the evolving world of state-of-the-art automatic identification technologies. At ID World 2005, over 50 global industry leaders will address government, business, and technical issues and will reveal lessons learned in the real-life auto ID projects. Now, I have listed, I have a list that they posted on the site that compiles the modules and key topics that will be covered at the ID World 2005 convention in Rome. They are, for example, security, privacy, and identity protection. That'll be held on November 2nd, where they'll go into physical versus digital security or privacy issues and consumer concerns or even impact on emerging and disruptive technology, you know, just to try to prevent, you know, like the reasons for holograms on your credit cards, all right? The next would be on November 3rd, they'll be talking about e-passports or electronic passports, governments and citizens, like national ID programs or border security and management or even airline and travel documents. And then again on November 3rd, they'll be jumping forward to talk about asset tracking, logistics, brands or values, which are smart products and brand protection or smart manufacturing and supply chain management or the RFID, different frequencies for different applications. You thought that was just going to be on the shelves in Walmart? Think again. They're not only going to have a lot more of these RFID chips, they're going to have different frequencies for different applications, like they're saying here. Okay? And then on November 4th, they'll be going into asset control or security in private and public areas, which they're also going to be talking about control of public areas or logical versus physical access in the enterprise or smart home and home security. And then finally, on November 4th, they're going to be talking about transactions or banking and services, which is security and financial transactions, authentication on public and private networks, or entertainment and public services. And by the way, this is just a preliminary list on this website. They also state that the companies would be exhibiting are manufacturers and distributors of auto ID technology, such as RFID or biometrics or car technologies or GPS or AIDC and multifunctional systems, training companies and educational institutions, consulting services, and they actually have a list of companies planning to exhibit at the convention. And again, this is just preliminary. This could change. It could get better, I guess. Some of the more commonly known names are ADT, Security Services, or Applied Digital, that's the Very Chip or the Digital Angel people, Acura Biometrics or Bright ID, InfoSmart, DataCard Group, Denso, which is a subsidiary of Toyota, by the way, HID or Identech, ID Tech or IRC Consulting, Nordic ID, Panasonic, Biopen, Symmetry, and it just goes on and on and on. The ID World website is sponsored by the International Congress, no less. Is this going to happen soon? Well, does the sun rise in the east? And by the way, they aren't stopping there. Back on May 18th and 19th, they held another convention discussing electronic passports and the need of global uniformity. On the electronic passport website, they stated the following. They said that the Electronic Passport Forum is a highly focused vertical event produced by Wise Media, the organizers of the ID World International Congress. The decision to move forward with the global shift from passports to electronic passports in order to implement enhanced security capabilities in travel documents requires dramatic changes in the traditional passport manufacturing and personalization environment, as well as a new globe-spanning border control infrastructure. focusing on the most relevant issues related to the introduction of the new biometric-enabled travel documents. The Electronic Passport Forum is the only global event that showcases, with live demonstrations, the entire life cycle of our future electronic passports. From the integrated circuits and the electronic inlays to the durability tests to electronic passport personalization and new border control processes. The Electronic Passport Forum is the ideal venue to pose your questions and seek answers to an open forum involving global experts in the areas of manufacturing, deployment, and use of state-of-the-art machine-readable travel documents. The Electronic Passport Forum will take place in Berlin, May 18th and 19th at the Hilton Berlin. For further information about attendance, sponsorship, and marketing opportunities, then they got to click here. Now, do you see why our borders are becoming so lackadaisical lately? For some strange reason, we are seeing more and more immigrants gaining access to jobs in our country as well as financial aid via the government agencies than ever before. The powers that be are allowing for all sorts of problems to infiltrate this fair land of ours so that when these global ID cards and electronic passports are ready for distribution, the people will beg for them as a way to slow down on the obvious problems associated with open borders. Fact is, this is no different than the 9-1-1 so-called terrorist attacks. I'll admit, it's a bit more peaceful in its approach, but just as disturbing in its ability to fashion the need for more controlling law nonetheless. Without government-fabricated events such as these, none of these IDs and strange laws would be coming into fruition. Is it not written in prophecy that the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed in Revelation 13:15? And are you aware that in prophecy the word speak means legislation and cause means laws? The Bible is that accurate, people. It's no wonder so many refuse to read it. The enemy wants them blind to, and in the ditch they're tumbling into. Like the national ID that has been passed and approved for May of 2008. This electronic passport can stop you dead in your tracks at the flick of a switch. Imagine you're in a foreign land on your way home and the Vatican's global mandate of Sunday laws goes into effect. If you don't agree with them, you'll find yourself trapped in a strange land far from your loved ones without any hope of getting home until Christ gets back. Again, you cannot enforce the mark of the beast without a global government, a global ID, or a uniform electronic passport. This is not something that may happen. It is something that will happen, whether you're ready for it or not. The prophecy is sure. Are you ready? Are you sure? Seriously, you got to get ready now. There is no more choice. Next article, headline reads, Historian Claims 9-1-1 Plot by Vatican and U.S. An Egyptian tells Saudi TV of assignment by World Council of Churches, June 11, 2005, worldnetdaily.com. It's a short, quick article, it says. An Egyptian historian claimed on Saudi television that the United States helped carry out a Vatican plot to destroy Islam by orchestrating the 9-1-1 attacks on assignment by the World Council of Churches. Professor Zanyeb Abd Al-Aziz told Saudi Iraq or Accra TV in May 26 interview that the decision to impose one religion over the entire world was made in the Second Vatican Council in 1965, according to the Middle East Media Research Institute, which posted a clip of the program. Abd al-Aziz claimed the Vatican's decision to Christianize the world included a plan first to absolve the Jews of the blood of Christ. That was the basis for recognizing Israel, the prophecy said. Then the Vatican decided to eradicate the left in the 1980s, followed by a decision to eradicate Islam so that the world would be Christianized by the third millennium. Now, keep in mind, let me stop here for a moment. When they say Christianized, they're talking about Catholicism, not Christianity. The main reason Rome wants Islam out of the picture is because the Muslim is the only religious threat to Rome there is, so they think. Well, in fact, when looking at this as a purely worldly and political venture, one can see why they are threatened. Rome is moved by global power and money. The only way to ensure this power is to have the majority of the vote in any given situation, especially when there's a global government on the arena, on the horizon. At present, there are 1.2 billion Catholics worldwide. In a global arena, that's a massive advantage in any voting process. Anything that leans towards Catholicism, they're going to more or less have in the bag with that many people voting in one place. But Islam is slowly but surely gaining ground. In fact, they are thought to be able to surpass Catholicism within a decade or two. Last I checked, there were a little over 1 billion Muslims. Rome can't afford to allow them to put a damper on any of their future desires. Too many votes in one area is a problem. Unless, of course, they're all pointing towards Rome. Some would think the Protestant churches would be a threat. And Rome did, in fact, see them as such not too long ago. But as of lately, the intensity and the intense popularity of John Paul II being designed solely to woo the Protestant back to Rome, just this generation alone has seen the worldwide Protestant religions and faiths redefined into Catholic sympathizers. Many mainstream Protestant faiths that at one time used to openly proclaim Rome the house of Antichrist are now openly embracing the Pope as a holy man. I've got a page on my website where almost every major denomination used to call the Pope the house of the Vatican the house of Antichrist. Now everyone from the graphic Protestant Billy Graham to the Seventh-day Adventist Church that at one time would hold actual seminars exposing the Pope are now calling him a holy man and giving him medals of appreciation. Now, since the Protestant defense has been squashed, the only threat at present is, in fact, the Muslim. Okay, let's finish the article. Well, let's go a couple of more paragraphs here. It says, Abd al-Aziz explained that since Pope John Paul II's plan to Christianize the world by 2000 was not accomplished, the World Council of Churches assigned this mission to the U.S. in January of 2001. Since the U.S. is the most unrivaled military power, the mission, he claimed, was for the U.S. to fabricate the show of September 11, 2001. The host of the Saudi TV program asked, "You mean to say that the World Council of Churches delegated the mission of Christianizing the world to the U.S?" Abdi Aziz replied, "Yes. And how could the U.S. win legitimacy for this without anyone saying that they are perpetrating massacres and waging a crusader war? It fabricated the 911 show. I call it a fabrication because much has been written on this. We are also to blame. Why do we accept a simple single perspective? Countless books are written, some of which were even translated into Arabic, like Theories Messianians of 911. The appalling fraud in Pentagate," which is the English translation, Pentagate, like Watergate, you know. "He brings documents to prove that the method used in destroying the three towers were controlled demolition." By the way, let me stop here for a minute. On my 911 page, I have a slow motion video of the Twin Towers coming down in a camera angle you're never going to see on TV. You're just not going to see this on TV. It easily proves this was a planned demolition. You can actually see what demolition experts call cattail explosions emanating from the side of the building as it collapses. Cattail explosions are explosions that come out of a building in what looks like cattails. They're like horizontal explosions. They shoot out horizontally as they shear the supporting girders in the building in half to allow for a pancaking effect of the building. Above the 911 video on that page on my site, it's in the I believe it's in the miscellaneous section or the prophecy section or the warning section. Or send me an email. I'll show you exactly where it's at. Above that video on that page, I have another slow motion video of what appears to be an old apartment complex or something being professionally demolished. You can see the cattail explosions coming out in plain sight because they're going off almost simultaneously. It just comes shooting out of the front of the building and the building just pancakes. Now, the Twin Tower explosions were allowed to go off much slower so as to prevent the people below from seeing the cattail explosions. They're kind of hidden in the dust as it's coming down. They hoped the cloud of debris would cover the evidence. They also hoped the people running for their lives down below would prevent anyone from looking up and watching calmly enough to notice it. Thing is, there is video evidence they never counted on. Now, finishing up the article, it says, Abd al-Aziz said 4,000 Jews caught influenza on that exact day. They set a timer, and all 4,000, and it goes on from there. I mean, the host interrupted him, and he goes, "By God, you crack me up. They all set a timer and got influenza on the same day, so the building was completely empty of Jews?" Abd al-Aziz says, "Much of what has been written about this, 150 congressmen demand an inquiry." You know what this also reminds me of? what I'm seeing here in this article and what this man said about the influenza scare, if you want to call it that, the Oklahoma bombing. For some strange reason, all the so-called important officials of the day were somehow away from the building the day it was bombed. You know, soon Jesus will return, and all these sins will be shouted from the rooftops. Those men and women that thought they were getting away with all this are in for the most rude awakening in human history. You can't define it any better than this. It's called the executive judgment. They may think their false god Lucifer, who they worship in the luminarias or whatever, will defeat Christ. I mean, they can think that all they like. But even Satan himself will bow down to Christ and call him Lord right before being burned up for all eternity, as Malachi chapter 4 reports. I'm sorry I went a little bit long on these articles this week. I was planning on getting into a lot more emails. Looks like I might only be able to get into one or two of your emails this week, but may as well get right to it then, because we're running out of time here. We've got a little more than 4 minutes left in the broadcast. So this first email comes from Rick in Canada. He says, I was reading Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, and I'm confused with the word son. Can you clarify who is being spoken of? To me, son is Jesus Christ, but S-U-N is just that, the S-U-N, the son. Could it be a typo? Okay, like the sun being so bright that it dispels darkness in nature, so Christ is so pure that he dispels darkness in our spiritual lives. Sister White put it best when she said the following. This is out of Christ Objects Lessons, page 113, paragraph 1. It says, we need the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit in order to discern the truths in God's Word. The lovely things of the natural world are not seen until the sun, dispelling the darkness, floods them with its light. So the treasures in the Word of God are not appreciated until they are revealed by the bright beams of the sun of righteousness. And then Malachi chapter 4, verse 2 says, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. As Christians, we are called to walk perfectly with Christ. His purity shines forth as the sun when we reflect him in our daily walk. Jesus said that Christians are to become perfect as his heavenly Father is perfect. Okay, now I said the P word, I know, but a lot of people have a problem with that. I've even seen bumper stickers that say Christians aren't perfect, they're forgiven. In other words, they're saying Jesus lied, because Jesus says be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. You know, to shine like the Son of Righteousness would in fact be a perfected walk. Jesus said, I am the light of the world in John 8:12. Seeing how we must emulate Christ, in other words, it's not our perfection, it's his. It's not our righteousness, it's Christ, our righteousness. Jesus also declares prophetically in Matthew 5:14 that ye are the light of the world. Malachi was merely pointing when he called the Son of Righteousness, S-U-N Son, he was merely pointing to the greatest light he knew as a way to describe the brightness of the purity of this Son of God. That's why he used the actual ball of fire to explain it. By the way, we must also look at the prophetic sense of this passage so as to get the complete understanding of what's being proclaimed here. In verse 1 of Malachi, it's speaking of the second coming of Jesus Christ. He speaks of those that do wickedly and how they shall burn as an oven when Christ returns. However, in verse 2, he speaks of those that will grow up as calves in the stall after they leave with the Son of Righteousness in the sky. Jesus will come from the east. His brightness will be so dazzling and so bright that he will actually dwarf the yellow star we call the sun on both sides of the world. So on that great day, that great and dreadful day, it'll be great for us and dreadful for them, all that look up will see the Son of Righteousness in the eastern sky instead of the Son of Fire. Some will claim him Lord to join him in heaven, while some will see the Son of Righteousness as a destructive force on that day, as if the sun itself landed on the planet. For it's plain the seventh plague will, with its 125-pound chunks of hail, generate a global fire upon the wicked. Of course, that won't be the executive judgment that happens 1,000 years later. but that will be the end of the world as they know it. Well, anyway, thanks for listening, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the broadcast. Please try to catch us again next week. If you are unable to catch the program as it is aired, simply go to remnantofgod.org, click the Antique Radios on the main page. That page will bring you to the archives of this program, and you can, you know, or the past programs, and you can listen online or download MP3s. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministries saying, until next time, I pray the Lord blesses you and yours with the desire to be the Christian He created you to be. Thank you for listening, and remember, the truth is provided in the Word of God. God bless.